Praise the Lord, people of God.
Blog Talk Radio.
Go.
Praise the Lord, God's people. We thank God for yet another opportunity to continue to share His word. I thank God Almighty for Cash Radio Station. I also appreciate Dr. Hunters. I pray that God Almighty will continually bless this station and everything that we need to continually remain on here to share the word of God. The Father of light will continually provide in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm so excited to be here this night. We've been looking at Kingdom of God, which is the priority. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent the disciples in twos and told them to go preach that the kingdom of God is near. The life, and I told us in the previous series that we've had, that everything about the kingdom is just a representation of where God reigns. If God reigns in your heart, then the kingdom is already established in you. The people to Jesus, and they say, hey, brother, hey, master, stop, tell us exactly where is the kingdom? When is it coming? But Jesus said, the kingdom is in you. The kingdom of God is where God reigns. If God reigns in your life, the kingdom of God is established in you. If God reigns in your home, your home is God's kingdom. Now, in the previous studies, just a little back up, we looked at kingdom engagement principles. We said the kingdom has principles. Every kingdom will have rules and regulations that governs their activity. Every kingdom is governed by one rule or the other. And to be a part of the kingdom, we must live by the dictates of the kingdom. We shared with us that in the kingdom, God is the one that has ultimate authority. God decides what goes on in the kingdom. We also shared with us about the kingdom engagement principle that no one can come to Christ except God brings him. You cannot, by your words, I cannot, by my words, change anyone. God has to bring the individual for the persons to experience the salvation that has been presented. Last week, we started looking at kingdom lifestyle. And by God's grace, we're continuing the studies of kingdom lifestyle. When we are a part of the kingdom, there is an expectation, there is a kind of way that we are meant to behave. There is a way that when people see us, they should know that we belong to Christ. The Bible told us in the book of Acts of Apostles, when they heard Peter spoke, when he was speaking to the leaders of the Jews, they heard him spoke, and then knowing that it is a layman, but they knew that he was able to speak the things that he spoke because he has been with Jesus. Anyone that has been with Jesus, his life must show forth. If your life or my life is not showing, is not identifying with the nature of Christ, we are not living the kingdom lifestyle. I shared an example with us last week. I said everyone wants to come to the United States of America because the news that you hear about the country, the things that you see going on in the country, you want to be a part of that. You want to experience the freedom of expression, the freedom of religion. You want to so everyone wants to be a part. If we live the life, if we live according to the dictates of Jesus, people will want to come to us. Scripture says, arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It said, but for darkness shall cover the heart, and gross darkness the people.
But the Gentiles shall be attracted to a light. So if we live the life, the kingdom lifestyle, I tell you, people will come to Christ more. People, you and I, Bible that the world is reading. Nobody is picking up the Bible. The unbeliever is not going to pick up the Bible. But when they relate with you, when you are their colleagues at work, the kind of life you live, the way you show forth yourself will tell them the kind of person you are. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. If you are indeed a child of God, our life should demonstrate, should show forth the glory. So last week we talked about the kingdom lifestyle. The first thing is holiness. We must live a life of holiness. To be holy is to be separated unto God. To be holy is to live a life that brings glory unto his name. The second is to love God. People, you cannot claim to love God if we don't do his dictates. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. If we love God, we have to do what he asks us to do. Just like in our relationship with men, when we love people, when a man loves a woman, he always wants to do what she likes. If a woman loves a man, he always wants to please him. So in the same vein, if we love God, we have to present and do the things that pleases him. I pray that God will help everyone under the sound of my voice today to begin to show forth the light of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The third thing we looked at last week is to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor, 1 John 4 and verse 12. If you claim that you love God, and the scripture is saying, and you hate the men that you see around you, you're lying to yourself, because the men that you see, you do not like. The neighbor that is around you, you have refused to assist for one reason or the other. How can you claim to love God? When Jesus was given the parable of rewarding the people, he said, well, you saw me when I was hungry, you saw me when I was naked, you saw me when I was thirsty, and you gave me drink, and you clothed me. He said, and they shall say unto me, when did we see you under in those situations? He said, if you have done it for these ones, you have done it for me. So, brethren, I pray this night that God will touch our hearts to let us go and grow beyond sentiments, beyond discrimination, that we will show forth the light and the life of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. So this day, let's step a little bit forward in our teachings. I like to start with a word of prayer. Father, as we go in your word tonight, speak to our hearts. Everyone that needs to hear you, cause them to join from every area on earth. People that are joining from everywhere, Africa, North America, South America, Lord, you will bless them this night, and your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So we continue our studies in kingdom lifestyle. Today, I want to discuss with us, when you are part of the kingdom, one of the other things that you will see exhibiting, one of the ways that you'll be living, is to be living a life of faith. The journey that we've been called to is a journey of faith. The scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, the principles of the heart, it says that you have to see. Seeing is believing. But in the walk with God, believing is seeing. We must have faith in God. We must exhibit our faith in God. We must live a life of faith. The environment, the economy, the situation should not dictate your faith or my faith. if our faith is still driven by what we see, we still have some growing up to do as a participant and as a member of the kingdom of God. Everyone that has walked with God, they walked with him in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord, because everyone that comes to him must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must exhibit our faith. The book of James said, show me your faith, and I will show you my faith by my works. It's not just to claim. It's not just to say, but we must live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, the faith that I talk about, brethren, it's not just the name it, claim it faith. That is also faith, is fine. But I'm talking about a faith that is dependent on God. The faith that says, if God says it, I believe it. If God speaks, if I read this in the scripture and it's the word of God, I believe it. Even if I don't see the manifestations right now, I still believe the word of God. Even if I don't see anything right now, God is faithful. He will always come true. Our Father is the only one that speaks and tells you the things that are yet to happen, and the entire world will be arguing and be debating on the fact that it is not possible, but God tells us in advance because he is God, and all by himself, he holds the entire world in his hands. So a walk with God in exhibiting and to show that that we belong to the kingdom, our lifestyle must be a lifestyle of faith. We must trust the Lord to protect us. We must trust the Lord to provide for us. We must trust the Lord to keep us safe. I do understand that people try to get guns and weaponry and calls. I have to protect myself. I have to protect my family. I don't have problems with that, but I can let you know that except the Lord protect the city, the watchman, the wicked in vain. That you must trust the Lord to the point of losing your life. That is faith and walking with him. If you are persuaded, if I am persuaded that God is real, I should trust him to the point that I don't have any regret or looking back. Daniel was someone that was taken into Babylon as captive. He was a prisoner. He got into the house of the king Nebuchadnezzar, and he grew up. He was taught everything. He was taught all kind of secular knowledge that was contrary to what he knows about God. And nothing has changed him because he has faith in God. In fact, he was in slavery. He was in bondage. He still trusted the God that was not able to prevent him from going into bondage. That is the kind of faith that we talk about. And he stood with God. And at point, he got to a point people say he shouldn't pray to his God. But because he has been praying, his Bible says his usual manner. It's not you or me that we always that we start praying when problem arises, because our faith is not strong enough in the Lord. But this man was praying, and when they made the law that no one should pray to another God in the land, this man went as usual and opened his window towards Jerusalem and he cried to God. They came, they got him, but the faith he has in God was able to deliver him. I'm proud to declare to you this night, brethren, that any kind of trouble that your faith will get you into, the same faith is able to bring you out. And as you stand tall and stand strong in faith this night, God of heaven will honor your faith in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He is a faithful God. And we must show our faithfulness by living the life, not running away. When God says, I will provide for you, we need to trust Him to provide. When God says, no weapon formed against you and I shall prosper, God is able to stand by His word, even at the 11th hour. God is never late. God is on time. And everyone under the sound of my voice, we have to begin to live a life of faith. People were waiting for the returning of the Lord, but they had faith. They were waiting. They did not see Him. They died in faith. That is the walk with God. Abraham believed God, and he became a friend of God. God restored his body even at his old age, and God fulfilled his covenant and his promise. I challenge you this night to hold on to your confession of faith. I challenge you this night to stand firm in the faith that you have been established. God is faithful. He is never too late, and is coming to deliver and to save you and I in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Even when men are making mockery and making jest of you, you don't need to look at them or send them. You just need to listen to what the Father is saying unto you, and His name will be glorified in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the next thing I would like to discuss with us is living in forgiveness. We have to learn to forgive. Forgiveness is a spiritual virtue, and if you do not learn to live in forgiveness, you are not a child of the kingdom. The Bible told us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, it's so difficult for a lot of people to forgive. I get it. You are hurting. I get it. They were not fair. But the scripture, the call that we have been called to is to live a life of forgiveness. If you are unable to forgive, you do not belong to the kingdom, because that is not the kingdom lifestyle. Our lifestyle is a life of forgiveness. Jesus on the cross, even while they were the God in man, the one that was able to descend from that cross and cause legions of angels to do certain things and make changes, he looked at them. They were mocking their Savior. They were making jest of him. But all he had to say is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I do not know what someone or people have done to you. I don't know what they've taken away from you. But if you are here tonight, are you listening to this voice? They've not taken your life from you. At least you are still alive. There is every opportunity to live a life of forgiveness. If you forgive, our Father will forgive us. Matthew chapter 6 and 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I did not write this. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. So there is a condition, and our Master Savior was speaking here, that we have to learn to forgive. That if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. If we hold grudges and resentment against people, that is not a kingdom lifestyle. The Bible, Jesus was speaking, he said, if you greet them that greet you, he said, what good have you done? Even the publicans, even the earthly people, they do the same. But when you do good to them that are harming you, now you are representing your Father. There is no way you and I can claim to be a part of the kingdom without forgiving people their sins. I pray that God will touch our hearts this night and will help us to live in forgiveness, to forgive that husband, to forgive that wife, to forgive that colleague, to forgive people that plant evil against you. But the Lord has been faithful to you. The Lord has given you victory over them. So you do not, I do not, have the right to hold grudges against anyone. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, God forgave our sins. Even up till today, the Bible says if we claim to say, if we say we have no sin, it says we lie, and the truth is not in us. Every day, every moment, we say things, every time we act in a way that does not give glory to God, and we cry to Him for forgiveness. And He always forgave us. If God is always forgiving, we have to live a life of forgiveness. I'm challenging us this night, whatever burden that we're carrying in our heart, this is the time to show forth and exhibit the life that God expected of us. This is the moment for you and I to show indeed that we belong to the kingdom by forgiving the people that we have grudges against. As I'm speaking the word, somebody is saying in his heart, how many times do I have to forgive? This guy, every time I forgive him, he still does the same thing. Where Peter had the same situation, he came to Jesus and said, how many times will my brother offend me? He said, 7 times a day. But Jesus said, 70 times 7 times, 490 times. I do not see how someone is able to offend you 490 times in a day. In essence, is asking us to live a life of forgiveness. It's calling us to show forth the love and the kindness of God. It's asking us to be the Jesus on earth. It's asking us to live like the Master lived. If we claim to be a part of the kingdom, our lives must depict the things that are done in the kingdom. This night, I call and I pray that God will give every one of us the grace and the ability to forgive men for all their sins in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I trust the Lord that His word will touch us and will make us better people in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, one more thing I would like to touch on this night, that actually shows us like we are part of the kingdom, is patience. We have to have patience. Walking with God is not walking the way we think. Walking with God, God says in the book of Isaiah that my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Sometimes we think, oh, it has to be done now. If it's not done now, it's not going to happen forever. Brethren, it's a lie. We have to learn to patiently walk with God. It's just a very good example. It's all the sales that the store announces. Oh, it's July 4 Independence Sale, the best promotion ever. You're going to get another one on Memorial Day. You're going to get another one in Thanksgiving. They do the same thing. So we need patience to walk with God. Because you missed the sale of this season doesn't mean that you will not get another one. Everyone that walks with God has to walk with Him with patience. We must be able to wait on the Lord. We must be able to walk and accept the will of God for us at every time. I'm trusting the Lord this night that God will touch us and make us better people. In the mighty name of Jesus. In 1 Samuel chapter 13 from 8 to 14, he was talking about the king Saul. King Saul was about going to battle, and Samuel, the man of God, had told him to wait 7 days, but he found out that the people, Bible says to us that he waited 7 days. the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. Now, when we walk with God, we must learn patience. Because things begin to go the other way, it's not a reason for us to begin to run. If we indeed trust God like we claim, we should be able to wait for him. This man, because he saw that people were leaving, he saw his army were depleting, now he decided to do the work of a priest by himself, because he could not wait anymore for Samuel. Every time we lose patience, we lose something important. We must learn to walk with God in patience. The Bible says, be patient even in your affliction. When things are not working right, what you need is patience. If you will be patiently wait for him, he will come to your rescue in the mighty name of Jesus. David was anointed king at 17, but he became a vagabond and was running all around town until he became the age of 30 before he became the king that he was anointed to be. But patience pays. I tell you, if we wait upon the Lord, if we wait on him, he is faithful. He will come through for you, and he will come through for you and I in the mighty name of Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, verse 24, it says, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We have to learn to wait patiently on our God. Let our case not look like the case of a man that came to pray to God and he says, God, I need patience. Give me patience and give me right now. His prayer is already failed because you have to learn patience. Patience is waiting. Every area of our life, there is a waiting time. The doctors have a waiting room. The hospital have a waiting room. Offices have waiting places because you have to wait. You go to a restaurant, you have to wait for your meal to be ready. Don't try to jump out of waiting. When you wait, you will receive the goodness of the land. When you patiently wait upon the Lord, he will honor you and he will cause his name to be glorified in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Psalm 75 and verse 2. He says, you say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge with equity. That's God speaking there. He said, he chooses the appointed time. He judges with equity. And he makes all things beautiful in it. If we are part of the kingdom, our life must exude all this give all these items that I've highlighted. We must live a holy life. We must love the Lord our God. We must love our neighbor. We must live in faith. We must live in forgiveness, and we must be patient. As we do all this, the good God of heaven will help us all in Jesus' name. Before I close this night, I want to give us an opportunity. If you want the Lord to touch your heart and help you to forgive this night, this is a good time to call upon him, and I want to agree with you to pray together so God will give you grace to forgive and move on in life. If you will forgive, then you will have peace of mind. Then you'll be able to live freely without any concern. I want to pray with us. I want to agree with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brother. I agree with my sisters. I ask, Lord, that you will help them to show forth forgiveness and live a life that brings glory and honor to your name. And all men shall know that we belong to the kingdom, and men shall come to our light in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If you are hearing me and you have not given your life to Jesus, today is a good time. Today is the day that the Lord has made. When you hear his voice, do not be rebellious. Come to him. Give your heart to Jesus. Say with me this night, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. I want to come to you. I want to be a part of your kingdom. Bring me in. Thank you for forgiving my sins in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining and tuning in. We'll continue this teachings next week. By the grace of God, we'll be teaching on kingdom empowerment. The Lord bless you. Amen.
Well, well, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this my brother?
Yes, sir. This is Dr. Hunter. This is Mr. Elegant.
Well, then, all right. The lady is ready to call and talk with us. She got some time, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to sit here with you. But tell us, as a Republican, what the Lord has made on your heart to do.
I mean, well, first of all, I start out as a humble servant of the Lord, but as a conservative, we definitely need to come together as a nation, come together as one people, and love one another as the Lord would love us. Obviously, there may be some policy issues that separate us, but those things should be able to be debated and discussed in a manner in which, once you've given your opinion, you should be willing to listen to the other side. Some things, there should be able to be easy compromise brought about from. Other things may be a bit more complicated, but it shouldn't be brought into question that one individual doesn't love the country because he's a certain political party, and that another individual doesn't love the country, and vice versa. Those things shouldn't be brought into question, because now you're questioning the character of individuals, which causes individuals then to start, you know, feeling impassioned about the argument and taking it beyond the issue.
Well, having said that, one thing I will ask you, I've gone on Facebook to put a lot of things out there. So the question a lot of people are asking today is, why are the presented before?
Well, I must have a little bad connection, because I didn't completely understand it, but I did hear the part where you were asking why are conservatives and behaving in a certain manner, and to a great extent, I feel like that discussion is about President Trump. Each individual represents themselves. I mean, obviously, they're a core set of ideals. One thing I want to say is it's perceived that conservatives aren't compassionate towards individuals that may be less fortunate than themselves. And speaking for myself and for many conservatives that I know, that's definitely not the issue. The issue arises in the manner in which you look at it. Obviously, I believe that if you're able to give an individual a hand up, you definitely should. But there's a difference between a hand up and a handout. With that being said, if you continue to give to your kids without expecting any level of responsibility on their part, or without expecting any effort from themselves to accomplish the things that you want them to accomplish, then they'll never accomplish those things. And speaking in a more general sense, that if you assist an individual to the point to where they feel comfortable, what is the incentive for doing for yourself and striving to have more?
So let me ask you this question. I hear what you're saying, and I kind of agree. I agree with you. If we don't get them started out early to work, they're not going to appreciate what they're doing. But as we live in today's society, the now society, where there are many questions are being raised, one of the things that are raised to me, and I said, well, look, if you don't have a job, get a job. Well, I can't get a job. I ain't got no education. Well, that was not my problem, but I'm trying to say.
I definitely feel like your money can best be used, and this is for anyone, your money definitely can best be used by you better than the government can choose to spend it for you. So as far as that's concerned, I definitely agree with that. That's why I'm not for higher taxes and larger government. The larger the government, the more the taxes that you're going to pay, because the government has to be paid. The government is going to make sure they're paid if no one else is. I mean, really, limited government should be something that African Americans aspire towards. Because whenever you've dealt with the federal government, and when I say you, I'm speaking of our race in its entirety in the United States, whenever the government has been oppressive and large, we've suffered the most. So we should want less government. We should want the Second Amendment. Because during the Jim Crow era and the Reconstruction era right after slavery, the reason that the Klan was so strong and could terrorize the neighborhood is because African Americans couldn't own guns. So rather than rail at many of the laws, we need to take advantage of the laws that are on the books that are there for us. If we understand that, we can benefit from that. And Dr. Hunter, you made a great point about individuals having difficulty finding jobs if they don't have an education. But we have to make that popular in the neighborhoods again, because now too many individuals feel comfortable telling somebody else or ridiculing somebody else for taking the time to actually study and go to class. And that's a huge issue with our youth right now. We've got to make sure that they understand the importance of education. Many things can be taken from you in life, but my mother and grandmother always told me what you put in your head can never be taken from you by anybody. So if you understand that, then you can use those things in order to uplift yourself, uplift your community, and uplift your race.
Well, let me ask this question to the audience. Listen, perhaps somebody will call in and ask a question. But one question that kind of all the years of my life, why is that when we get our education, if you want to be an engineer, if you want to do an electrician, you want to learn to do this, you go apply for the job, and that day and time they say, well, you got too much education. Is that possible today?
Is it possible today to be what? Can you repeat that last question, sir?
To have too much education, not enough education, when you want to become an engineer. So you graduate.
That's a great question right there. The paradox of having too much education for certain jobs and not enough education for others. It's a funny society we live in where that can actually be an issue. I can understand certain jobs that maybe you're not skilled enough or educated enough to perform. That makes sense to me, just on a natural level. But when they say that you're too educated for certain jobs, that just means that they know that your worth is more than what they're willing to pay.
And even on both sides, I want to say, too, when you apply for the job, you apply committed. That's how they're going to hire you. That sounds crazy talk. But that's what's happening back in the day. Even today, we find the millennials, they're raising a lot of ruckus. They're fighting right now on both sides of the aisle in America. The black folks need some help. The white folks need some help. Now, in the lower part of America, we find that those who supported Trump, they're the worst time, because they got this bill. If the bill passes, a lot of folks in America are going to be without him. So my question to the whole audience, what do we do? What do we do when we got people who got cancer, who've been going here, going there, got this happening? What is America going to do? What is America going to do?
Well,
just a quick analogy. I understand the concern if you're told over and over that conservatives or Republicans want you to basically die because they're going to take health care away.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of rhetoric that's put out to scare individuals to vote a certain way rather than to educate individuals on what things actually are. There was rhetoric that came out about Obamacare that, you know, probably was over the top as well. I'll be the first to say that. But what I will say is that that system is unsustainable. It's easy to say everybody should have access to health care. Everybody already had access to health care in America really prior to that. Maybe not in a doctor's office, but always at an emergency center. But I'm getting off the subject.
No, go ahead.
Certain. The reason I say it's unsustainable in its current form is because the price for individuals that are paying for health care is being priced too high for those individuals. So when those individuals can't pay for the health care, you have what you're having now, doctors and insurance companies leaving those markets. The more insurance companies in the market is better for clients and customers because you get a choice. The people that are in there can set the price at an exorbitant rate, and everybody suffers from that. If you're going to have less doctors to provide care, the care obviously has to be in. If the price is higher, you're paying more for less care. That doesn't make sense. Something has to be done. And the current bill that passed the House is not going to be the law that goes into effect. I can sit here and tell you that's not going to happen. But individuals need to look at things that will assist them and help them get the care that they need instead of just taking the word of other individuals. Anything that I say, if someone finds it either offensive or uplifting, I hope they will take the time to research it for themselves. Because if you do, then you will actually take the middleman out of the way and be able to formulate opinions on your own.
The cancer happening in the country. We got adultery going on in the country. We got people being babies being slaughtered in the brains, killing the wombs. What are we going to do about them? Well, that's not my issue. On the other side, what I am, I hear them say, how can I help? I say, well, why you can help? I gird up your mind, stop going to committee this different things that have been happening. Because the more you go out there and make a bona fide show, you want to wear your pants up. I'm talking to the Democrats now. They want to put their pants up. They don't want to put a belt on. They want to walk.
That was.
I'll say flat right now. No, I will not. I won't.
No. I won't accept that in my home. What you said is absolutely correct. We have to start one family at a time. Your generation put in the work. You deserve the Medicare. You deserve the Social Security. But I understand that my generation probably is not going to see that the way things are currently financially happening within the government. The money is just not going to be there because we spend money on frivolous items instead of actually preparing to take care of the individuals that care of the country for a long period of the time. So my generation is going to have to prepare that that's not going to be there for us as it has been in the past. As far as how the kids behave themselves, the millennial generation is millennial generation. I'll just try to be nice now. I phrase that. But we also have to play a role in that and do our best to guide them as opposed to pulling ourselves back and saying, well, society is moving in this direction. It's our job as parents, as grandparents, as mentors, as positive citizens to tell an individual the difference between right and wrong.
Well, you know what thing I would say? The more I grew up with a lot of white white young men in my life. I grew up in the neighborhood because it was way for the white folks. I learned that strength, and I capitalized on that strength to help myself. In addition to that, because I didn't know my father, I wanted to make sure that my son would know his father. And I tell men, they say, well, man, you know, I got so many kids out there. You ain't nothing but a big old whore.
That is true. My generation definitely has taken a step back in the male being a positive role model in his home, because in many instances now, the male isn't in his home. I'm fortunate to have a great wife and kids, and you know, I'm also very fortunate, Dr. Hunter, to have your son as a friend. He's a great example for young men, young women all across Houston. That's what we have to do individually, is realize that we have to get back to how our parents and grandparents were and be responsible and be the leaders of our homes, to where your children will understand what it is to be a man and won't have to pretend to learn in the streets, because that's a lesson they don't need.
That street learning is a bad language. Hey, let me ask the audience this question. Today we live in a place called America. How many of y'all go to the wall right now to stand up?
Individuals need to realize the opportunity that the military provides for an individual. I joined the Army in 1989. One of the best things that I ever did, because it teaches you a great deal. And regardless of what anyone may think, this is their country. And it's no better country in the world.
No better country. No better country. I don't care what nobody say. I don't care what they say about the past president or the present president. You got the best country in the whole wide world. Now, when you go around over there in Syria, well, let me change the course to say like this. Well, right now, when they put that $100 billion price tag on Iraq.
Did the president have the right to do what there in Syria?
Does he have a right to sign the deal for to sell those arms to Arabia for $100 billion?
Oh. Yes, the president does have the right to do that. That is the right given to the president through his national security. As far as foreign policy, the president basically has carte blanche other than treaties and to declare war. Other than that, the president sets the tone. Truth be told, President Obama has started the sale with Saudi Arabia before his administration ended. So that was actually a bipartisan thing there.
It was. And see, that's what I'm trying to get back to. When that was bipartisan, things worked out. They worked out pretty good. But everybody say, he did this. Why come we can't get together and close that sinkhole? We can close the sinkhole. We can have somebody else to come. One way of understanding. Well, I want you to know tonight that we have been telling you. We started out tonight's been nice. One question. I want one question. I want to ask one more time. Will America stand for Israel? Will America stand for Israel? On what side? I'm asking that question. Will it?
I mean, we have to. In the words of President Lincoln, the house is divided, cannot stand.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. Since I was going to tell the lady to come back, she's going to see this statement. She's over there in Obama. And she said she'll be back, but I told her I would take a place for this time, get it in. And brother, tonight from the bottom of my heart for everything you have done for the radio station. And I believe there's a challenge out there for somebody to be known. And tonight, you got one final word you want to say to the audience?
Really, I just want to say that I look forward to getting an opportunity to speak with you all each Wednesday. Let's both have an open mind. And when I say both, I'm speaking to myself and the audience. And let's grow and learn from one another. We need to share ideas as opposed to not being willing to talk to one another.
I like this. Share ideas. An architect can't build a house if he knows a plumber. An architect can't build a house if he don't know an electrician. They have to share. I like that, sir. I like it. So until next time, this time next Wednesday, God bless you and God keep you, all right? Peace.
Amen.
I'm strong. I'm wise.